4 or 5 months ago when I was like, hey, I totally want to come on the show and talk about old Raws and Nitros. And really, I was like, I kind of only want to talk about old Nitros.
Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. This week's steamed victim, if you will, is Sawyer.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, Sawyer. And hello, welcome. We're talking a little bit, but right off the bat, wrestling just got right to it. That's why I was like, oh my God, we should do the intro. what is your history with wrestling outside being an early WrestleSky adopter? That's where I know you from, is a lot of my guests. I just invite my mutuals on here, folks. This is, congratulations, now you know.
But I'm so happy you do the show. This feels like a little bit of a, like WrestleSky and your show feels a little bit like a spiritual successor to what I used to call the Tumblr wrestling community.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar. Please give me a rundown.
I was a part of the Tumblr wrestling community from like 2009 to 2013 or so. And before that, I was a writer at a couple of websites. I've been a wrestling fan since the 80s because I'm old. Yes. But I've been sort of like contributing to the community here or there for almost 20 years.
We love us an old folks.
Yeah.
I say as an old.
I used to write a blog called International Object. I used to publish I used to have a website called Fair to Flare. we used to print a quarterly journal called Fair to Flare Quarterly. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So we have a professional, folks. We have a wrestling journalistic pro, the opposite of your humble post usually. So this is fantastic. And of course, you would imagine that I would take advantage of that, you know, having a wrestling pro journalist here and get you on like a really juicy episode, you know, two episodes of really historic Monday grabs, but no, it's Westminster Dog Show time.
I'm so fucking happy about this.
I forgot that it was gonna happen, so much so that on our first episode, the very first episode of Nitro, had no Raw against it. And at the time, me and Topanga were like, that probably never happens again, right? Like, there's no way Vince lets that happen again, right? Not taking into account that, like, it's not up to him. They're on USA. they're on USA. So, like, they had a deal before Nitro existed saying, hey, the dogs are happening. Fucking move over.
There's a grand hierarchy of pro wrestling here, which is that Raw will get preempted by the Westminster Dog Show. And it happened. Yeah. Many years in a row.
Oh, it happened until 2003.
But the other hierarchy is that wrestling will also take over the Saturday Night Live time slot when it feels like.
Yes.
Because that happens multiple times throughout history because of Saturday Night, it's main event. So
yep.
So the hierarchy goes SNL, wrestling, dog show.
Yes. Which has to feel terrible for the dog show.
I would think it would feel worse for the SNL people.
Yeah.
At the bottom of that.
As someone who has known and is increasingly meeting more and more stand-up comics, I imagine they would just be like, nah, that tracks, that's fine. You know what? No, we get it. We're used to it. Dogs are good.
There's a good old joke on 30 Rock somewhere. I forget where on the show, but they're like, yeah, the show's on every week unless there's wrestling.
Yeah, there you go. That's fantastic. Welcome back, Saturday Night's main event. that's so good. But yes, I figured we would take this time to at least look a little bit at the 96 Westminster Kennel Club show, because I was like, all right, if anyone has been a longtime listener, you have to know that a dog show is going to happen instead of Raw. I'm going to talk a little bit about the doggos.
Please do. I didn't see any of this dog show, so please fill me in on what happened.
Well, I reached deep into all of my journalistic skill and I brought up the Wikipedia. The title of Best in Show given to a dog chosen at the Westminster Dog Club. Yes. It has its origins in a variety of classes for champions that were introduced in 1905. So this is, that's the thing I think is fantastic. The Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show is pert near as old as professional wrestling to a certain extent. Like maybe a little bit younger. So it's amazing that they're still grappling for a time slot in 1996. But yeah, they have
add one fun little factoid there.
Oh, please do. I hope people have factoids all the time. Bring me your factoids.
So the Westminster Dog Show starts in 1905.
Yes.
And we are also talking about WCW Nitro, whose World Heavyweight Championship is in the lineage of the oldest World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, right? Wow.
Because it's the NWA
title.
It's part of the NWA lineage, right? Would you like to know the year that the NWA World Heavyweight Championship is created?
Oh, I think I know this, but please tell me so it's correct.
It is 1905. So these two fine sports
are running neck and neck.
That's right.
And it gets better because it is older than that. It's just that it became like incorporated with its current stage, much like the NWA. Wrestling was older than that. So they have actually been doing shows for all breeds in New York City since annually since 1877. Wow. Would you like to know where they started holding them in 1880? Madison Square Garden.
Hell yeah.
The home of Vince and Raw and all that, which is another reason why they're not there, because the Westminster Dog Show is happening at the Garden.
That's fucking amazing.
So, right, it's all tied together, and it's just...
This is the real Monday Night War.
This is the true Monday Night War that they've been fighting this whole time, is the war against the doggos. So I found all that fascinating, and just because, you know, we're talking about it, and it is a competitive sport, as is our sport of kings, I want to make sure everyone knows that the Best in Show in 1996 was a Clumber Spaniel name of Clussex Country Sunrise, and she is a beautiful good dog.
Aww.
And, yeah, and I think that she was a sporting class, whatever that means. So yeah, I don't know much about that, but all I know is she looked like a good doggo. And that's best for me, and she's absolutely good beyond the thumbnail because she deserves it.
I've got a photo up. She's so cute.
Yeah, right? She's so good. And she got pretty cool. So, yeah, that's why we didn't have to listen to Vince and Lawler this week. So thank you, doggos, for once again being better than humans.
Thank you so much for this.
In every way. Exquisite. So, yeah, you can imagine my surprise when there was so much to get into there just off the Wikipedia in regards to pro wrestling. But on that note, the real reason we're here, the Graps. We are on to Nitro. Mm-hmm. Live from Florida, post Super Brawl pay-per-view, no Raw. We can't see it yet, but I want to just imagine that Bischoff is like visibly orgasming in the commentary booth. He's so fucking, like, this is the best night of his life. There's no Raw. It's post pay-per-view. There was a title change. I'm going to kick this shit's ass. And he's like, "Still, George Steinbrenner invited us to the Florida State Fair," and he's just sweating with joy, I imagine.
He's so happy. This is the happiest Eric Bischoff has ever been.
Outside of Wyoming, yeah.
Yeah, because he's like, he's at the center. Like, first of all, he's succeeding, right? Like, his business ideas are working right now.
They really are, yeah.
Right? He was invited to the Florida State Fair by George Steinbrenner. Not him, not WCW, but like, I'm guessing George Steinbrenner sent an email to Ted Turner being like, "Hey, this was 1996. Neither of them emailed. They called each other and was like, "Hey, can I get a wrestling show for my fair?" And Ted was like, "Yes, of course you can.
Of course you can. Yeah, my kid likes the Nacho Man guy."
Yeah, exactly.
You got the Nacho Man? You got the Huckster?
Yeah.
Can you get both?
Of course you can. Yeah.
Of course you can. Yeah. Scheme Jean's there as well. So, yeah.
And they're not going to like charge for tickets, right? No, no, we are not.
Every single
person in this arena walked in for free.
Which makes them even happier to be there.
Of course they are. The
Of
crowd is
course.
jazzed. Eric Bischoff is jazzed. George Steinbrenner cut a check, made this happen. This is high American shitty capitalism at play, and all of the people who love that are in such a good mood.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the times indeed. So though, this is a great night in Nitro and a great night for dogs, because you know it's Pepe talk. Pepe gets named before Mongo when Eric is dropping names. So fucking good. And he has glasses with fake headphones attached. I love this for him. So, you know, best in show, we'll see.
This is the real Monday Night War.
Yes, this is the true Monday Night War. They let us know that about Miss Elizabeth turning on Macho Man, and Flair is now 13 time champ. We get a slideshow of photos from the previous night, which is feels so 90s and good and right. Like, I was like, this is silly, but also, like, it's tugging at my heartstrings. Eric runs it down for us. He reminds us that Flair got his ass pulled out like 3 times at Super Brawl. It was a hell of a pay-per-view. If you want to pay the show so I can pay the Patreon guests for having to see it and witness Flair's ass, that's patreon.com/MNFFpod. help Silent get $30. This is the goal. And it ended with the whole thing, though, ended with Giant Haystacks, who they have named Loch Ness, coming out. And I don't remember any of this. Like, when it happened, when we watched the pay-per-view, I was like, are you Loch Ness? And someone else said, yeah, it's Giant Haystacks. And I was like, why? Why
indeed?
Well, fucking, what it's question. It's 1996. No, and Loch Ness, is this reeks of Kevin Sullivan. So who knows how long this arc lasts. It's a new big guy for Hogan to overcome, basically, is what they're trying to set up, I'm sure. But first grabs of the evening, we get the Dungeons Joker, Hugh Morris, versus the newly dethroned King of the Madness, our biggest boy, Randall Savage. And yeah, I don't have high hopes for this because of Hugh Morris, but who knows?
Hugh Morris is, like, unfortunately, like a recurring member of what I like to call the WCW Oafs and Chumps division.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Like, but he's on so many episodes of the show, but he never ever gets out of the Oafs and Chumps division.
And he has no reason to. I try not to be too judgmental of folks in ring work, because I can't do it. I rather judge them for who they are as a person, which doesn't go well for Hugh Morris either.
No.
at all. But, like, this match sucks. But in the meantime, Mongo does tell us that he is, if he had just lost the championship belt, it wouldn't have gone down like that. No. And I thought that was fantastic. I was like, sure, again, Mongo's just Mongo continuing to be the Marky Mark of the commentary booth.
I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of squash matches. I think they have a very important place in wrestling, and I kind of miss them because they don't super happen much anymore.
No, AEW brought him back for a while there, and I was digging that, where they're
AEW
just like,
Dark was such a good show because it was like oops, all squashes.
Yeah, and then occasionally you'd send one of those people out to job to a large person, and Hobbs would just eat really well for a couple of weeks. Like, that was great. I love that.
But like Nitro would have squash matches like this, and these are my favorite kind, where one guy is so S-tier overpowered and pissed off.
Yeah.
And he's going to take it out on a jobber. And this is what happens here.
Basically, because Randy is a little more upset than usual, a little more paranoid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, he just tries to rip Joker's eyes out right away. And understandable. He had a rough night.
One of my favorite things that I do when people talk about wrestling, like in public, like in real places, is I bring up Elizabeth heel turn, and zero people on earth remember this happened.
No.
And because I go like, oh yeah, remember, like, one of the, you know, remember when Liz turned heel on Savage, and everyone goes, what the fuck are you talking about?
Never. They would never. Yeah, no, this is absolutely like an era of Nitro that I feel like barely exists.
Mm-hmm.
We are still in that because it's pre-NWO. Like, it wasn't until NWO where everyone, like, outside of you know, us people, but like the normies were like, oh, what's this? But right now it's just like, what the fuck is a Loch Ness? Where the fuck did you get that guy? Yeah, Eric Hitt says that Loch Ness last night wanted to do to Hogan what he does to a Big Mac. And I know it's fat phobia, but in my mind, read it as he's going to take Hogan lovingly into his mouth whilst moaning and making yum yum sounds. Okay. That's how I handle a Big Mac. I don't know about y'all. And I don't know, that sounds kind of gay, Eric. But anyways, this match is boring as hell. It's not great. Macho can get a good match out of most people, but Bill DeMott just can't do. He has a beautiful moonsault, and that's it. Commentary boys spend like 3 minutes telling us about the WCW Baywatch crossover episode. Yeah, they filmed it at Bash of the Beach in like 95, so it's been a minute, but that's finally coming. Yes, it exists, and it's as ridiculous as it sounds. But Joker goes for his lovely moonsault and misses, which means Macho Man can hit two elbows on him for the win, because he's extra spicy on account of the bad night. He then go after the match. He's like, I'm gonna go one more again because I'm going through it, and I love me an unhinged. This whole thing, it's starting to remind me of like Hangman now. Like we love us a unhinged hoss, and like
Exactly.
yeah, Macho is starting to slowly do his unhinged hoss, and it's my favorite Randy Savage. He rolls out of the way, but Macho grabs the mic, calls out Flair, and just leaves. And just slapping hands and he's all intensity, starting to lose his shit. It's my favorite Randy
I'm
Savage.
gonna let 1996 Randy Savage inform my viewing of Hangman, because I think you're right. I think there's something very similar going on here.
And I really I started to like it clicked for me watching it this morning, and I was like, yeah, no, because that's what they do. He's starting to slowly unravel, slowly not trust his old friends, and because everyone's fucking with him, and this is going to go on for a few months, and like nobody did this like Randy Savage until fucking Adam Page, and now it works. If you can do it right, it works. We come back from commercial though to something that did not work for me. Mean Gene talking to a NASCAR driver.
Vertical integration is a hell of a drug, kids.
Yeah, think about that bottom line. It didn't work with the monster trucks. We'll try with the smaller vroom vrooms. Okay. He lets us know that Sting's going to come work in the pit crew at Daytona, and that is such a bad idea. Like we've established he's a puppy. He's going to chase all the cars. He's going to try to bury a wheel in the dirt for later. Okay? This is not a good. Don't do that to yourself. I love him to death, but no.
No,
It's
that's
America. That's pretty much it. He's our good golden retriever boy, but it's American males time for one of them at least. It's the man himself, and I just put checks notes for name, not Buff Bagwell. I mean Marty Jannetty. No, I kid, I kid. It's Scotty Riggs. So like, yay, the other American male, and I want to I like. The underdog girl in me wants to like love Scotty because like I love me the little guy who doesn't get the love but also just fuck Scotty Riggs. But they go to commercial again, just as the theme song starts to really get cooking, and that's unfortunate. They got tease us like that, and then we come back to Jimmy Hart and Giant Haystacks. Loch Ness, Kevin's latest cryptid-themed dungeon of gooner. I can't imagine this being a good man.
It's fucking terrible, and I think Riggs gets hurt. Like, I think I don't know that this Haystacks guy was like a good wrestler in that. I think he hurt people. Like, it wasn't safe to be in there with him.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say we're gonna get to that pretty quick here with the way that finish goes. Yeah, I mean, Mongo says if Ugly could kill, this guy would be world champion, and if Ugly Matches could kill, this one would be Ted Bundy.
Right?
Basically, like this is real.
Woof.
Everything about this is ugly. Riggs just tries to knock Haystacks down with drop kicks and shit, and it does nothing. And it's like, okay. So we quickly see where this is going. We talked about squash matches. It's like, well, this is going to be a literal squash match. He goes up top. You know, he's like, maybe I can get from up top. Now, Haystacks, I'm guessing what happened here was going to catch him as he tried to crossbody and slam him to the ground. But instead, because he sucks, he drops him and just sort of stumbles and falls on top of his leg. And this is like a 600-pound dude, like easily. And I don't mean that in the Vince McMahon, this 600-pound dude. I mean, he's probably pushing 600 pounds, like
Yeah,
this
I think he was. Yeah.
big guy.
Yeah.
Can't stress enough. So that's probably, I imagine, where he gets. And yeah, it sucks. So the crowd's booing, and I just wrote down, it's not heel heat.
It's not heel heat. Now, I will be a little sympathetic as a human being here because
Please,
according to
please. I have few of
Wikipedia.
that at the nowadays. I have not as much of that, so please give me some.
No, that's fair. In about 2 months, he leaves WCW again. He does just a handful of matches, and then like he basically like gets a lymphoma
Oh
thing from his doctor, like he's got lymphoma, and then he goes home and retires, and then he's dead 2 years later.
no. Oh God. Well, that's wrestling. It's been a while since we've had a new one of those. It's just Pillman and Benoit over and over. But yeah, that sucks. And it's one of those things where like that's why I'm like, why is he here? Is because like
Why is he here? He's in no shape to be wrestling.
Yeah, no, he's from a different time, a different era, and they're like just like trying to get him working. It's like you shouldn't be working,
Yeah.
guy. Like you just shouldn't be working. So woo, there we go. No pun intended. Woo, because as yeah, he gets a couple more elbow drops from Haystacks to really cement it, and he gets the win. And it's just the whole thing was just gross. But speaking of woo, Gene is now talking to woman and Elizabeth. And they have a gurney with a covered in a sheet. They make a little joke about how Rick said someone was leaving on a gurney, and then Rick just pops up out of the gurney like a fucking jump scare.
All you have to do in wrestling is pay off a joke. And most wrestling fans will be like, this is brilliant cinema.
Yes, and the ones who don't will be worth it for how happy it made Rick. You
Yeah.
know, yeah, like Rick's just like, no, this is great. I'm going to jump out of this gurney. I'm going to look like a goddamn L.L. Bean catalog. I'm going to have my belt. Woo! There's going to be ladies. He is losing it with excitement and uncomfortable horniness. And at one point, he makes everyone like get on Mark and get on his arms. And he tells Gene, all right, come with me. Keep the mic on my mouth as he struts and talks shit with the girls on his
Yeah.
arm.
It's such a good Flair promo. And I mean, listen, you're gonna have a really good 2 to 3 months of these if you
Yeah.
enjoy this type of promo from
Yeah,
Rick.
get ready, folks.
Yeah.
We're hitting the golden era
They
of coked
cut
up
out,
Flair.
they haven't done it yet, but they start cutting out a portion of the entrance ramp to put like a little table so that Rick and woman and Elizabeth can just hang out and
Yeah,
drink.
just have dinner and chill because they're the fucking horsemen and they can do that shit. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this. We're getting into it, kids. Like sickos, to strap in and strap on. It's gonna get wild. Rick's gonna get even more Rick. For the first time ever, then though, Ric Flair in his life cedes his space to a woman, and tells Elizabeth to say some shit. So Liz lets us know she is happily divorced, and she sets up the plot point that she has half of Macho Man's money from the divorce. This is just gross. But this is what they're doing. It's like the upside down version of the Elizabeth Macho Man love story. It's really gross and it's hard to watch, maybe kind of in the way they intended, but also just and woman being there, it just ends up like none of this all aged like cottage cheese is
Yeah.
basically.
There's a part where Elizabeth is like, "Hey, finally I get to talk because one of the reasons I did this was because Savage never let me talk." But she's also at the same time so uncomfortable on the mic and so not practiced that like Rick has to cut her off at one point and like take over,
Yeah, and
which
it's like, well, honey,
undercuts the heel turn a little bit.
yeah, and it's like that wasn't, and it just, and it undercuts it and paints it over with misogyny, and we all look the other way.
Welcome to
And
1996.
yeah, let's go.
Oof.
It's
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Like,
But hey, she does
fucking
seem
hit the
pretty
horseman
happy to
theme.
have done the heel turn.
Yeah, she does seem pretty happy then. Apparently she's got money. And yeah, it's but we get a promo card for the next match after that lovely bit of business. And it is Conan dressed so 90s it's scary, and an average looking white dude jobber number 4 is what I put down because I was like not sure what was going on here.
So do you remember Conan in like WWF in like 1993?
Very briefly.
So he played this character called Max Moon.
Yep, Mac, I remember Max Moon. Yeah.
And he wasn't there for very long. Like they got rid of him pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because it really wasn't working. And then Conan basically takes 3 years to get out of the Max Moon outfit. And like he's
Just
about
slowly
halfway out of
dropping
it here.
it. I like this. I like where he's at now. The pink with the frills, and at the pay-per-view he had like a mask and like a top that he walked out in that was
Yeah.
really nice.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is pretty cool. I don't hate this. The other guy, on the other hand, kind of looks like a Green Lantern if it was like ECW Sandman got a Green Lantern ring.
I
That's
mean,
what.
if you don't have your own outfits, like don't take Marty Jannetty's outfits.
Don't, yeah, just it's everyone thinks it's going to be a good idea, but it's
No,
not.
it's really not. But it was not, again, it was 1996. It was a different time.
Yeah.
Neon was just on more things.
Yeah, and the tassels were everywhere. You couldn't
Yeah.
escape them.
Yeah.
Eric tells us, though, that this jobber is actually a new and upcoming superstar in WCW, name of Dangerous Devon Storm. So I did my Googling and I was like, wait, I know that name.
Yeah.
That's Crowbar,
That's
ladies and
Crowbar.
gentlemen. That's Crowbar. Crowbar looking like early ECW Sandman in a Green Lantern outfit. This is
It's
all
really a
right.
very long mullet.
It's very, that mullet could only exist with the power of will. Basically, yeah, and the Green Lantern core behind it. So needless to say, I'm like, okay, we have our potential banger of the evening. when I see this, I was like, oh, this is cruiserweight. All right. Early on, Devin grabs a chair, and they assume he's going to hit him with it, but he just sets up what we now know as the Mark Briscoe senton to the outside spot. Beautifully done. Love to see the origins of that kind of shit. Also, like the whole time he's giving me Sabu, basically. He uses the
He's
chair to
going
watch
really
him fall.
fast. He's like someone
Yeah.
told him he's got 3 minutes of offense and he got
And
20 moves in.
he's like, I'm gonna get all my shit in
Yeah.
so fast. Crowd's losing it though. So
Yeah.
like right after that, Devin acts quickly. He gets the chair out of the ring. He's now wanting to rearrange furniture. It's clear he wants to make a mark, basically. He's like, I'm going to be the Sabu shit without, the fact that I'm not psychotic like the actual Sabu. And I mean that complimentary. first he hits a beautiful drop kick off the apron to try and keep Conan down. And I was like, I couldn't imagine I was going to take too much notes of moves in this match, even though cruiserweight's more likely, but it was such a great drop kick that I had to write it down. So gritty.
I really love the move that happens right after. So he moves the steel steps so that he can get a launching pad on the
Yeah,
Like I love Conan's sell here because he's in the chair and he's literally like spinning his head in a rotation, like he's a video game character stunned.
like he's really trying to, I gotta really sell, like me, that's
And then, but
good call.
he's faking it.
Of course, because
And
he
so
catches
he
him.
catches Devin and then power bombs him on the floor. I'm like, oh God, that's a sick spot. More people should do that. Oh, right. That's hard to pull off, actually.
That's actually really, they barely did. He catches him and then like he like started falling and like barely
Yeah.
slowly pulled him back up.
Yeah.
It was sloppy, but it was effective. It looked devastating. I am into it. Finally, though, they get into the ring, and this is where like the real cruiserweight action really starts for me. And yeah, they just get right to it. So like lucha shit. So much lucha shit. So many head scissors. Conan has the pink shorts that I love. Tassels everywhere. He hits some cool shit like a pump handle slam variation, gets some leg locks in, and then they cut to George Steinbrenner
And like,
in
yeah, and Steinbrenner's like kind of stone-faced here. They cut to him later on, and he's having a much better time.
Yeah, well,
But
they
he's a
also
little
hold
stone-faced
it.
here.
They also hold it for like a while. And eventually, I think he realizes he's stone faced. Like, I should react. Ooh, ah.
Yeah.
And it makes like a little ooh, ah. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
But like, see, everyone, the owner of the Yankees thinks we're. Please stop calling us carnies. Please, love.
Yeah.
Love, they're doing a lot of this shit. Eric then has to do a retraction. There was electrical trouble during Super Brawl. Apparently, he made a comment that people took to mean he was implying that the Fed had something to do with it. Most likely totally did not do that. Or he totally did do that, I'm sure. I don't remember because we watched it like a week ago, but that's just so funny to me that he's like, fuck, they got me. Like,
so did they send like a letter or something being like, hey, we didn't actually do that. Don't, you can't say that on TV.
Probably. Yeah. We are heavy in the sending cease and desist letters that never get followed up on, but they're taking jabs left to right. Now they're starting to get paperwork about the jabs. See also the billionaire Ted Bits that finally wrapped up.
I wrote down his response on commentary. He was like, we were just having some fun. We just like to have fun here in WCW. People take stuff way too seriously.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, bro, you've been like a bully.
heading into his second Trump term, let me just say, I've heard that shit before, Eric.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. We're just having some fun. What? We didn't mean it. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Punch that guy.
Yeah, I'll see you in the camps. So Devin goes for a Hurricane Rana from the top. And instead, though, Conan catches him and power bombs the hell out of him. Again, basically the whole thing. I'm like, yes, this is great.
This is the era where a power bomb absolutely should be the end of a match.
Oh, yeah. Especially that, like, cruiserweight, like, stack them up, like, New Japan style power bomb. Like, fuck that shit. But you don't get out of that. We come back to the greatest guitar riff in wrestling history because Arn Anderson is coming to the ring to speak to Hogan after class.
It's tremendous.
It's so good. The Enforcer comes out with Woman. She is smoldering so hard she is leaving flames in her wake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, she was good at this. And then quickly, it's American Made. Not American male, American made. Clear distinction. Eric says here that here he is. He is here. He is the man. Here is WCW. And I'm like, gross, 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 gross. Is that in the contract too, brother? Like, you got to really make him, like, make it clear I am the face of this shit, damn it. Hulk comes out talking shit. Still rocking the eye patch from when he bladed 3 weeks ago, though. Cripes. He didn't even go. It wasn't even that much blood, dude. Mongo makes a heel pun, though, about the high heel he got to the eye and the heels.
Someone told Mongo that heel means bad guy, and he is giddy about it. He makes so many jokes on this show for weeks.
Hogan got hit with a heel. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
It means I have material, damn it.
That's right.
hey, Dirt Sheets. Hey, Smart Marks. Did you hear that? Do you hear what I said?
Like, they told him that heel means bad guy, but they didn't tell him that face means good guy. So he doesn't make any face jokes.
And they didn't tell him that it would be cringe to actually say this on the
air. Mongo is incapable of feeling cringe, though.
No, and that's why I've learned to love him. He's an agent of chaos, and he really truly is the embodiment of kill the thing inside of you that cringes.
That's right.
So I gotta love him for that. Right off the bat, bell rings, and I see a Bischoff is Satan sign. Mm-hmm. It's 96, baby. it's happening. Bobby says Arn is going to go for the other eye. And then what's Hogan going to do? Get a guide dog? And to that I say Sting is right there.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. He's easily trained. He's a puppy at this point. He can learn new tricks.
So Hogan, bites Arn's head as, like, his first wrestling move.
Heel shit off
Hogan's moveset has always been shitty heel guy.
Yeah, but it's okay when I do it. But he takes it in a weird direction in this match. But I'm happy you brought that off the bat, because that I feel is good context. Because, like, yeah, that's his. He doesn't have a lot. He's got maybe 12 moves of doom, and four of them is just heel shit where he bites a guy and scratches his back, and it's totally straight. It's straighter than anything you've ever seen. So, yeah, it's whatever. Hogan takes the eye patch off and he has a butterfly bandage underneath it. And I imagine underneath that, he has drawn a scar like Don Callis. Like, it just keeps getting redder every week.
If I could just take a quick second to say something I'm very proud of about myself.
Oh, please. Always do. We love to hear some self-joy here.
And I was very happy you brought me on for this episode for what's going to happen later. But, like, just for now, I'll say, like, look, like, do I enjoy Hulk Hogan matches? I don't. Do I enjoy Hulk Hogan as a character? No. Do I appreciate the man performing the character? I do not. Do I feel happy whenever he suffers? I do.
Yes.
I have always felt this way. Like, even as a dumb wrestling fan child in the 80s, like, I thought, no, this guy stinks.
No, this I was wrong about this.
Bobby Heenan like got in my head as like a 6-year-old, and I was like, this guy's dirt.
Yeah, no, something rotten in Denmark, I tell you.
Yes.
What. But yeah, no.
Yes. No. Now, like, look, I have not always cheered for the right people. Right. I think if you are a wrestling fan long enough, you will find yourself inside of a toxic fandom.
Well, but, yeah, no, it's the whole bit. It's the whole bag. That's that's a theme of our show.
But I can say I am very proud to have never once liked this guy.
I only ever liked him as an actor, which says way terrible things about me, really. But
what? If you like, you've enjoyed some of his films
when I was a small child. Yes, okay. I loved me the Suburban Commando or whatever.
Yeah.
That, oh my god. Well, I've put together later that what really happened there was I just really love Christopher Lloyd.
I was gonna say that's a pretty fun Christopher Lloyd film that has Hulk Hogan in it.
That's the thing, is I thought I liked Hulk Hogan because I loved that movie, and then I discovered Taxi, and I was like, no, the father. No, I just love Christopher Lloyd. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, this all makes sense. Let's go, Marty.
And like, I was, you know, he's been a heel for years in my brain at this point in 1996, because his, like, listen, we all have a point when Hulk Hogan turns heel for us. And yeah, for me, it was WrestleMania 9, because I'm a Calgarian. And a Bret Hart truther.
Oh, we got one of them on. All right.
Yeah.
Ooh, so one of them
you,
on.
You've said to other guests that you have to say that you're a Canadian or else it's entrapment.
Yes. So please, thank you. We got almost. Oh, here's the thing though. We got almost all the way through Nitro, so I'm counting that as entrapment. You did it. I was wondering what that maple smell was. Holy shit! Okay, makes sense. But yeah, you are totally correct. He's got many heel turns, and he does heel shit, but now he does heel shit in, like, not the same way. Because he drops two elbows, and then he looks to the crowd for approval, like, should I get him one more time? Yeah. And then he spits in their face, and he face washes them with his boot instead.
I know, that's like that's a straight-up bad guy move.
That's some MJF shit.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And he gets a boo for it. I'm like, what are you doing?
He gets a boo, and then they cut to Steinbrenner, who's having the best time of his life.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, boots in the face, fuck the door, yeah. He looks like a substitute teacher. I hate them. Fuck unions, fuck you. Like, all right. So
this
yeah,
is where, this is where I would like to place one citation link in your show notes, if I can.
Please do. I'll take note.
Which is TheGuardian.com's obituary for George Steinbrenner. And I just, if I can, I'll just read the opening.
Please do.
Paragraph of his obituary. George Steinbrenner was a loser.
Dude,
brother. While insisting that nothing less than winning was acceptable, Steinbrenner owned the New York Yankees during the team's longest World Series drought since its first appearance in 1921, a dry spell directly attributable to Steinbrenner's insistent mismanagement.
Brother.
Steinbrenner, who died on Tuesday, was a bully and a brat, devoid of humility, class, civility, born on third base, deluded that he'd hit a triple, and convinced he had to tell the whole world how he'd done it.
Oh my god, so him and Hogan must be fast friends. That's fucking amazing.
Bischoff says on commentary, Steinbrenner and Hogan, best friends. You're like, yeah, that tracks. I believe that entirely, actually.
Yeah, holy shit. Always worried about getting rolled up from behind for the loss. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is terrible. Holy shit.
I will send you that link. It's
beautiful read. Holy fuck, thank you. I applaud that reading. Oh my god.
I come to bring joy while our enemies suffer in these dark times.
Goddamn right, because all my heroes are dead, my enemies are in power. So we gotta read about Arn goes up to the top, speaking of sucking. What a segue there, because he's gonna do the flare spot where he gets tossed, and I don't know if it was on Hogan or him, but he slips and ends up crotching the ropes instead, like completely unintentionally. He saves it because he's a pro, you know. Like, he's like, all right, I guess this is the spot. The crowd starts cheer booing, and that can only mean one thing. Ric Flair's coming out with Liz, strutting on down. Arn keeps at it while Rick just like struts and smacks the mat. Like you do. Arn then even gets a big spine buster on Hogan. Holy shit. Like, that's going to be a surgery later. Like, wow. It's only good for two though, because Hulk has to Hulk up now.
Yeah, he does, he starts doing the comeback bit here. Up until that spine buster, well, I guess even during that spine buster, like Arn got moves in with zero effectiveness, right? Like Hogan hasn't sold one
Once.
inch of this match.
Basically, why would he have to? He sold he again, he sold the boo-boo over his eye from 3 weeks ago more than anything else. Fucker. So at this point, we can assume it's over, bar any fuckery. He does his finger point of doom thing. He drops him with the big boot, struts like Flair, and this is where it actually gets interesting.
No.
For a second, it gets interesting. I promise. He puts the ugliest figure four on Arn Anderson. And I kind of love it because, like, fuck him. But then he immediately is like, okay, this is great. I got him. Is that Shark Brother? Is that a motorcycle, dude? All right, I gotta jump that shark. So Rick comes in to interfere, and instead Hogan rolls him up in a small package while holding onto the figure four so he can get the visual pin on Flair, damn it. What the fuck? This is the most insecure man in history. Like, him and Elon could just get together and talk about it. Like, what is going on? So it gets broken up. Okay, this is nuts. So then we eventually get the clusterfuck of it getting broken up. Woo. In the confusion, Liz hands Arn a shoe again. He hits Hogan with it and gets the three. So you mentioned Hogan getting pinned being like not a thing. You sent me cage, you sent me like cage match like data, and like, yeah, I don't think he ever gets like straight up eats a pin much, but sure enough, please do notice it took heel shittery and he got to pin Flair on camera right beforehand, so it doesn't count.
Well, sure. I mean, all of that. Yes. Like Hogan, fine. Like woman hits him with the powder. Liz gets like Liz's shoe comes into it, and Arn hits with the shoe. And I gotta say, the shoe, I will say, I'm very happy to be on the show during like the shoe time of
The shoe
WCW.
times, it's shoe phase.
Because that shoe causes a lot of decisions.
It does, it's really into heels now. Yeah,
It's great.
heels, heels like Mago. See, you see what I said there? Heels.
And I kind of, yeah, I know, right? It like they're too happy about that working as a joke.
Yeah.
But fine, whatever. So like, yeah, fine. They cheated to beat Hogan. But here's the thing: people have been cheating to beat Hogan or trying to cheat to beat Hogan for years
It's
without
the whole
any
thing.
success, right?
Yeah.
They like the night before, like 40 guys attack Hogan and he still
Yeah.
wins the match.
Yeah, you just hit a ball with a chair in the cage. Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah. Like the fact that a bad guy beat Hulk Hogan, a pinfall
Yeah.
victory over Hulk Hogan. And like, okay, here's the stat. This is the first time that Hulk Hogan has been pinned in WCW.
Wow, fuck. There you go. Historic.
Right? And it's the last time he would lose a match until Starrcade 96.
Jesus Christ.
Right? And he loses by submission at Starrcade 96. The next time he gets pinned is in the summer of 97.
Oh my fucking God. So
So like
like
you are we are at a point here where I need you to enjoy this moment.
yeah, really soak it in, kids. It's gonna be a hot minute. Oh wow. Well, thanks for bringing me down on that note. Jesus Christ. I can't help but notice that statistics always have that effect on me.
I'm sorry, but
That's okay.
this is a good one. This is one of the good statistics.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson pins Hulk Hogan this week. You're going to have another guest next week. You guys get to enjoy another Arn Anderson Hulk Hogan match next week. And I'm going to spoil something to me that is amazing, is that Hulk Hogan never gets this win back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Arn Anderson remains 2-0 against Hogan for the rest of his career.
next Monday's a tag team, isn't it?
That's further down the line.
That's further down the line. They're setting up the Mega Powers versus Horsemen. Because I was worried after all this happened, Savage clears them out with a chair, because that's how you get rid of Horsemen. And I was worried that Gene's gonna, okay, let's get the boys in the ring for some scream talk therapy. But instead, Flair and Arn take over commentary again, and I am starting to love this. This is so good. End every Nitro with a coked out Ric Flair out of breath, screaming nonsense. And then Arn does a poetry reading. It's awesome. But then it gets broken up as the Mega Powers realize what's happening. finally, it took him a second. They come running out to the commentary booth. Hogan steals the headset from Bobby because, like, of course, and because Hogan must have the, even if that word is gibberish. And and then Gene's like, okay, we'll do the talk there. And I'm just sad. So, like, that was a great ending once again, mulliganed with Hogan needing to get more mic time, basically. Of course.
There's a little detail there where Savage steals Bobby Heenan's glasses. And I'm just like, dude, you're supposed to be a good guy. He's confused. Someone's glasses.
He's so angry. He's so confused. He's paranoid. Even Bobby's against him. So, like, there you go. So next Monday, or I thought next Monday we get tag team action. Apparently that's further down the road. Macho says, I got one thing to say to you about next Monday night, Ric Flair. Helter Skelter. Yeah. And that's it. And I'm just like, I love this man. Whatever the fuck. Like, just like a walking sound clip machine.
Yeah.
They then repeat everything that they just said, but less cool. That's all. That's Nitro.
And that's the show. And that's, I will say, once again, thank you for having me on this one, because what's better than 3 hours of wrestling? 2 hours of wrestling. And what's better than 2 hours of wrestling? One.
1 hour of wrestling and some light dog talk.
And some light dog talk. This was tremendous. I love a 1 hour wrestling show.
Yeah.
And I always have.
Soon rest in peace, Rampage.
I know.
The man, Rampage, I tell you, Rampage had it right for a while there, kids. I really enjoyed me. Just a quick little Friday night taster. You know?
It was a nice, like, I would routinely watch Rampage a few days later and be like, this is lovely. It doesn't matter, and it's nice.
Exactly. And I'm fine with that.
And it's best when wrestling doesn't matter, to be honest.
Speaking of not mattering and nice, though, did you have a match of the week, a favorite match of the week for you?
I mean, I think I enjoyed the Conan-Devin Storm match.
I was going to say, Conan and Crowbar for me.
Because it just felt like you have to remind yourself that this is now on television on a weekly basis, because in 1996, Nitro does start giving you matches like this. But it was still very rare and very strange to see this level of... as my old friend Jason Mann used to say, move speed.
Yeah, on TV. Move speed.
Move speed. Not work rate.
Speed. I was gonna say, that's a way to say work rate. Okay.
No. Move speed. I've always liked how he said that.
No, me too. I very much like that. And as far, I agree with you with the match. And as far as who won this week, there was no Raw. So obviously the clear winner this week is in fact Clusix County Sunrise. The best in show.
Dog.
What a good girl. Best in show. Best show of the show. Thank you for being here. I'm so happy that better late than never we get you on. So here, this was a delight. Do you have anything you want to promo? Want people to find you places? Anything that you want to projects, I mean, or anything you want to get out there?
You know, it's funny. Like a few months ago, I was like, yeah, I guess I'm on Blue Sky. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm on Blue Sky. Like that really happened. And I think that happened to a lot of people who were like, I don't know where I am now. The internet's weird. I don't know. And a few things happened to the world and to me. And I'm just like, yeah, on Blue Sky now. Pretty confidently there.
Yep. And it's a lot of people too, because I've gotten like 3,000 followers in 2 weeks. It's fucking ridiculous.
And you're a real poster, I gotta say. I'm an old day, so I'm just like, I don't know, I post like once a day and you know, whatever. Like you are nice and online. Take care of yourself.
I was gonna say thank you for very nicely finding a nice way. Garrick, you are way too online, girl. You need to set it down.
I've had lots of friends come and go online because being too online has gotten to be too much. So I just, you know, you're a nice person. Take be kind to yourself.
Well, my good friend Kennedy and coworker and network podcast partner, I guess you'd say, and other podcast host for other shows coming soon. be on the lookout for that. Put it nicely that like about a year and a half ago when we all started to like really first show up, they're like, I'm going to be real with you, Garrick. You had like 48 hour posters madness, and then you were, and ever since then we've been inoculated basically. and like I'm just like, y'all follow me, I don't know why, just here for goofs and the graphs. I mean, I was in a skirt. That's part of the reason I'm so online, is because like I work and do various things that involve being very online. Mm-hmm. And the benefit for all of you is that you get my silly little thoughts. So thank you for being there for thoughts. But I am not a thought leader. I will always be myth. Please don't parasocial at me. I'll get very scared.
Hey, that's one of the reasons I came up with the username I have right now, which is Parasilience, which is just, it's a small play on parasocial.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, what does that mean?
I took it from it's two words, and I took them both from a book called The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows.
Interesting.
And so the first one is called, it's actually Par Zero. And the concept of it is like, listen, you are already behind. You can't win this, right? Yeah. And the other word is Silience. And it comes from just like finding small treasures of goodness in everyday stuff. And just being like, no, there is magic everywhere, and it is in the little things.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I sort of put them together in this little sort of like philosophical thing for myself to be like, no, listen, you're probably not going to be able to save the world, but
yeah,
there is magic here. It is lovely. And be kind to yourself.
Yeah, no, it's there's nothing more punk rock right now than being alive. For mm-hmm. a lot of us. So my very existence is an act of rebellion, because of people have to just suck so hard, and I'm just over here like, I just want to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
And talk to my friends like I would anyways.
We all just want to watch wrestling and talk to our friends. That is the goal, and you are winning by doing that.
Yes, thank you. And professional wrestling is better than that thing you like, and that is important. Yeah. So yes, find Sawyer at parasilia.bscott.social. And thank everyone for hanging out and listening to us again this week. There's more and more of you every week. It's weird. I love y'all. Don't be weird, though. But be weird, but, you know, not weird. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. An Instagram that I will occasionally update again at mnffpod. And if you want to join us for pay-per-view watch-alongs and occasional extras, we may or may not be watching Best in Show on the Patreon and doing a little watch party for that, because of Westminster Dog Show, because why not? I was like, you know, that makes sense. And like, I was like, yeah, we ought. I talked to the position chat, and we're like, yes, we're gonna set that up. That's all gonna be at patreon.com/mnffpod. And thanks again. Otherwise, we will see you next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.